everybody, and welcome to Declarations of War. I am your host, Alexei Avkar, joined by my faithful co-host and your faithful CSM representative, Jin Tan.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
As well as MC Pilot, FC, Tournament Bro. How many hats are you wearing these days, Artemis?
Quite
Artemis Elbosa.
Hello, hello.
First off, I want to give a special shout-out to the first recruit to the Capitalist Army, Aromis. I hope I'm pronouncing his name correctly. Thanks for taking the plunge, man. And we might have a second person joining him soon. More information on the Capitalist Army later in the broadcast. Jin?
Sorry, what?
Your shout-outs, mate.
Oh, my shout-outs. Christ. My shout-out's going to be to Toxic Yakin and Ashtarothy for helping me to sort out a war deck rounds table, which was what I did yesterday. It was absolutely wonderful. We got a lot of information there, and I'm hoping to bring that to CCP when the time comes.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's also publicly available if you'd like to listen to it.
Artemis?
I'm going to go ahead and give a huge shout out to the entire rest of the Mercenary Coalition AT team. This was our first year playing. Everybody put in their best effort, put a lot of time practicing, and I'd especially like to give a huge shout out to Lothian Sickle. He trained with us for months, spent hours and hours just practicing his piloting, giving great feedback to the rest of the team, but unfortunately real life caught up with him just at the last moment, and he was unable to fly in the actual Alliance tournament. His presence is still felt, however, as he was so gracious, he donated his entire skill injector stock to the Alliance Tournament team. So,
wow,
we appreciate it, man.
Dude's a legend.
Indeed.
All right, and before we get into the MC Tournament team, which you're definitely doing, I want to give a shout-out to EveBet. Eve-Bet.com, long-running sponsor of the show and New Eden's premier betting service, where you can bet on the Alliance Tournament itself, as well as real-life sports with your ISK. They've handled hundreds of trillions in bets since opening, so they're a service that you can trust. They've also got more casual games if you're into it, like blackjack, slots, and that kind of stuff, including raffles. And all the betting odds are like industry standard, so if there is an industry standard for it, which, I don't know, the Alliance Tournament, probably not, but football, for instance, you know you're going to get a good deal. They're always adding new stuff for you to bet on every week, so go check them out, eve-bet.com. We have an advertising slot on Declarations of War, so if you want to promote your corp, your service, your website, your business, feel free to contact Alexei of Card in-game. We'll work something out.
Speaking of EveBet, a lot of Mercenary Coalition pilots made some ISK this weekend and last weekend, betting on the Alliance Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible.
So, MC has had a fantastic run, certainly the best tournament run that Noir has ever been involved with, head and shoulders. Artemis, you've been flying with that team. What was it like preparing for the tournament?
It was amazing and stressful and incredibly fun all around. We took a very hard approach to preparing. It was our first year, and we really wanted to be prepared. We wanted to bring the newly recreated MC name, make it out there, let everybody know, hey, we're back and we're better than ever. And so we were practicing a good 20 to 30 hours a week, every week, since July, actually, in preparation for this tournament. A lot of dudes doing incredible things behind the scenes. Elden, our team captain, coordinating with other team captains, getting his practice partners. Ronan really stepped up their game. They helped us out a lot, constantly practicing with us. Amazing dudes behind the scene. We've got a dude on our team who created an amazing tool, which I can't talk about for OPSEC reasons, but Solidus, man, you're a hero. As far as piloting is concerned, and in the actual matches, we found that it's more fun than you could ever imagine. If you ever get a chance to fly in the Alliance Tournament, take it. If you lose, it doesn't matter. You're going to have a blast. It's going to be an amazing experience. I could not highly recommend it more.
Yeah, I strongly echo that. If anyone's even thinking about it, but maybe didn't because they're like, oh, we're not going to win. Like, it's not even really about that. Just to be in the Alliance Tournament is a tremendous honor. and it's just the process to getting ready for it is just a great exercise for you to go through as a player. It's a lot of fun, like doing theory crafting and, you know, scrimming and getting all that stuff down, even if you do terribly, like every team I've ever been in has done. I never regretted a single ISK or hour spent.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And even CVA, a team that did make it to the second weekend, managed to just about scrape in top 32, so we're very happy with ourselves there, even though we didn't reach the great expectations we set for ourselves. And that was awesome fun to just even practice in, because I did not actually get to fly in the tournament, unfortunately, this year.
Well, of course not. You're too busy commentating on the tournament, and fantastic job done there.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it was wonderful fun. We did a little... that's my host highlight, actually. I spent some time up with Nash Kadaver and Bayart J and many, many other talented people like Remode and Apothy, and putting together a little player run, commentating and analysis team for the first weekend, as CCP doesn't commentate or analyze those weekends. They prefer to let the best of the best roll through to the second weekend and start commentating from there. But, you know.
And I will have to say, Jin, I don't mean to be blowing smoke up your ass or anything, but the production quality for the player run broadcast was well beyond my expectations, and I was watching the tournament the first weekend with a friend. He was extremely impressed. It looked very professional. It looked almost like a CCP broadcast, everything from the studio to the graphics to the... I think the commentation quality, in fact, was better in some cases. You guys did a really great job.
Thank you very much, and you can thank the other people involved for that. All I did was turn up and wear a dapper suit and a dumb hat.
let's talk to you, Jin, about teams that surprised you that first weekend when you were commentating. Did anybody really stand out?
404 were very surprisingly good. We hadn't really heard anything about them, so seeing them be so incredibly successful was kind of a big surprise, really. Other than that, we didn't really see any major upsets. Maybe the PFR upset, and definitely what happened with Complaints Department. But I don't think Complaints Department were a good team. They just got very, very lucky and managed to completely trip up a much better team, which was incredibly fun to see. And it just shows how much you've got to think about the AT, because if you slip up, if you take your, take your foot off the pedal for 1 second, you're going to get overtaken and you're going to lose to someone who is not the best team, and that's really, really embarrassing, and obviously a huge blow to your morale, which can hamper you later on in the tournament.
It can happen to even the best teams. I believe it was PL that had a match well in hand and then lost two command chips to boundary violations and was suddenly down in points.
As I said on Twitter, look, even if that was staged, can like PL and NC dot take over WWE and start like making some goddamn pro wrestling matches? Because that shit was great entertainment.
That Drake pilot is a real hero. We actually had the opportunity to scrim with NC prior to the Alliance tournament, and they brought a very similar match, albeit without a flagship, and their Drake pilot did the exact same thing to us in our practice match. That Drake pilot is just a massive hero.
An absolute mad lad.
Now, Artemis, let's talk about some highlights from the matches that you participated in. What do you think was MC's best match, and what was their worst match, and why?
Ooh, that's a tough one. As far as fun to watch is concerned, our best match had to have been versus Castabounce. For those of you who don't recall or who didn't watch, Castabounce are a team who typically fly very heavy damage comps. So very battleship heavy, they love their blasters, they love their Galente rush, and so we anticipated this. We really wanted to find a way to have a super bloody match, and just give the spectacle, the best spectacle that we possibly could. So Mercenary Coalition brought double Golem, double Barghest, 4 bombers, and 2 crewers. It turned out Castabouts threw a curveball at us. They, instead of bringing blaster battleships, brought a Rattlesnake and a double Scorp Navy issue comp, which was incredible. It was unexpected. Props to them for throwing that curveball at us. But as the match unfolded, it was just pounding on each other, team after team, ship exploding left and right, everywhere ships going down. And it really came down to the wire. Some hero piloting from our crewers webbing down Gila drones, and that allowed us, our pilots, to stay alive long enough to just eke out that little tiny bit of extra damage against Castabouts.
Yeah, from watching it, it was very thrilling, and I was like flabbergasted that the Gilas were not putting their drones on your bombers for the most part. And, you know, we couldn't figure out what was going on. There just wasn't the camera angle to catch that crewer work. But then I caught up with Dell afterward and talked to him about it. Dell being the logistics pilot for the MC team. And that is just damn impressive thinking on the crewer's part to web those guys down.
Indeed. Our most disappointing match. That's a tricky one.
Probably the match you lost?
Well, we lost 2 matches. As we're recording this, it's only a very short period after we most recently lost our match against Finder Reloaded. That one I really enjoyed. I think it wasn't disappointing whatsoever. We pulled off an MJD right on top of their Logi. We just did it a little bit too soon, and our Logi pilot, the hero that he is, we pulled the trigger before he could get in position, and we whelped the fight as a result. So that one, it went fantastically well, apart from a mistake on our part of pulling the trigger too soon. But I think that could get at the spot versus Vigil Reloaded as our most disappointing match. Making that key mistake early on in the match just threw it all out of whack.
Well, I'm really excited to see you guys in the tournament again next year, hopefully. I knew that MC would do well, because I knew the level of prep that you guys were putting into it this year, but I think to see you guys actually execute at such a high level and get as far as you did, super impressed. I think Dell did a really good job on Logi, the matches that I've seen him in, even though one match it seemed like he didn't have to do much of anything because you guys had it well in hand. And yeah, just props to everyone that put the time in to make that tournament effort succeed. By far, like I said, the most successful tournament effort NAR has been involved in. All the prep work really showed. You guys look like a finalist class team. And, obviously, Hydra Reloaded. Vigra Reloaded is a pretty strong team, so I don't think there's any shame at all in losing to them, especially where you know what you did wrong and, can improve on it next time around. So, congratulations to MC, congratulations to all the teams in the tournaments, and can't wait for the finals weekend. Should be very exciting. Meta-wise, I'm really loving the blaster rush thing. Way better than the sentry drone shit we had last year.
Yeah, right now it's looking to be a very, very battle cruiser and battleship and heavy meta, which is obviously pretty interesting.
And really brought bombers back into the fold as a result, because they're excellent damage application against those ships.
Well, also the points reduction in bombers helped there too.
Very true. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather have a... What can you get from 3 points? Would you rather have a Tech 1 Disruption Frigate, or would you rather have a Stealth Bomber?
Yeah, right.
It's not really a contest most of the time.
Especially a Hound, where you can just stuff the mids full of E-War anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Let's move on to some zeros... Or let's move on to some patch happenings before we talk about all the stuff that's going on in 00, and there's a lot to talk about. But they released changes to the mining foreman system, which is part of their larger revamp to leadership skills. Now, most of the changes to the mining foreman stuff, I don't really care about. I don't mind. I know that some of my audience minds. I encourage you to read the dev blog. Most of the link changes, I think, were pretty in line with the changes that we had discussed earlier for combat, in that most of the bonuses are staying the same. It's going off a charge system now. I believe one key difference is the mining foreman links take less fuel. Presumably so you can run them for longer periods of time, a little more cheaper. But the key changes were to some of the ships involved in the mining foreman thing, including a new command ship called the Porpoise, changes to the Rorqual, which were pretty substantial. Am I saying changes to the Orca? Is that right?
You are correct. Although, yes. It's relatively similar to its previous role. It just gets a few tweaks to make it fit better with the new command bonus changes.
Yeah, it gets a bit of a buff to like its maintenance bay and things like that. But you're not going to notice any like radical changes to your Orca. It's just a little bit better. Which I'm fine with. I didn't think that Orca... It doesn't seem like anything they did to it was really game-breaking.
Well, the big thing they get for the Orca is the ability to actually do remote reps effectively in a belt, and also, obviously, the mining drones, which basically mean you've got, like, half a mining budge there, plus your boosts, plus you can rep all your dudes if you're paying attention and, like, a gank comes into your belt. You know, that's pretty useful.
Yep. Not clear how many mining fleets would prefer to stay and be repped. I know most Orca pilots that I know would gladly leave those barges to die to get their ship out. But, you know, maybe that'll change now that it has a bit more teeth. It gets a drone damage bonus, too, am I? Or is that only the next ship in the line?
No, it gets a 10% bonus per level of the industrial command ships to your drone hit points, damage, and mining yield.
That's what I thought. So basically, you're hitting pretty hard. That's like a battleship class bonus. So it's got decent teeth. It can rep. It's pricey, so you probably won't see it appear in, like, I don't know, battleship fleets, even though it can be good for that, I guess. I don't think it's going to quite cross over into, like, actual combat ship status, except maybe as a troll. But it's pretty decent.
How about that Rorqual, though? Just
before we talk about the Crown Jewel, let's go over the Porpoise a little bit. It's basically an industrial command ship. Does command shippy things. Also has the mining drone bonus, although it's not going to be as strong as the Orca. Kind of controversial, perhaps, in that it's cheap. It's like the cost of a Tech 1 ship. Yeah, I was surprised about that.
I'm pretty happy about it. I think that it gives, you know, the equivalent of, say, a Drake or a, you know, any other battlecruiser or even a, you know, one of those, what are the command destroyers? It gives that to mining. I don't think that's a bad thing. You know? It's also, you know, about as vulnerable to ganking as a regular barge, and it doesn't mine too well. So you're sacrificing a lot, and you're getting a cheap but effective little boost ship for your mining op.
All right, I guess that's fair. I hadn't really thought about like that.
The real big thing though is the fact that it has a very small mass, so that you can use it with, say, a fleet of ventures if you're going into wormholes or something like that. I think that's the niche where it will be used the most.
Yeah, that's huge. Just kind of throws, because as a command ship, compared to the other command ships, it's ridiculously cheaper. It's like a third of the cost. If not more. But, if it's not much more powerful than like a Tech 1 battlecruiser, I guess. You are giving up a lot of combat power, which makes sense. Now the huge change, the Rorqual got completely revamped. It's basically now a force auxiliary for mining.
Can confirm. Elite MC leaks happening right here, boys. MC pilots already training up the Rorqual fax wing. It's happening.
Mining coalition in full effect.
That face from the scariest thing that can land on you if you try and kill a Rorqual is 7 more Rorquals. Oh man, Providence is going to be great for like the 2 weeks before everyone realizes that mining in those things is going to be a terrible fucking idea in Providence. Like, there's just going to be a stream of Roku lost mails, and it's going to be amazing fun.
So basically, it's got a it has to be in the belt now to give bonuses, which is a big change. And of course, if you're going to put it in the belt, CCP says, hey, it might as well be worth it. So it's got bonuses to its durability with repair bonuses, both local and remote. It's got basically a triage module for mining, where it like rapidly boosts the mining power and the defensive stuff. And it also has a special super weapon called the panic button. Click it, and basically your entire mining fleet becomes invulnerable for several minutes. Now you might go, oh, that's not that great, because they're going to be invulnerable, immobile, frozen. But the idea is that it will give you time to rally a defense. So it's sort of a conflict drivery type mechanic, which I like. You basically force the fleet attacking you to hang around for like 5 minutes, which should be plenty of time for you to get some support. Now, if you do not have any support, perhaps you should not put your Rorqual and your mining fleet in that particular position. But if you're, for instance, in Providence, and you know that you have defense fleets flying around all the time, you know, 5-7 minutes is a pretty good window to get one of those together.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. It's something I didn't think they'd actually go ahead and try and do, but hey, it looks like it's cool. It's something they mentioned in the last CSM minutes, actually. The minutes of CSM 10. So it's something they've been thinking about for a while. It's interesting to see that they actually went through with it.
Yeah, I'm pretty pleased with the mechanic in general as an attacker. Because, you know, the Rorqual's potentially big, juicy thing to go kill. I like that they made it compelling enough that people would actually use them. And half the time, you know, roaming around and catching a ratter or catching a mining fleet, whatever, the fun stuff is when they do send a defense fleet to try to fight you. So, while I do see it could be obnoxious if people just take the time to drop caps constantly or drop supers, which happens, I do think there's middle ground there where they're not dropping supers, but they're bringing almost anything else that could be fun to fight. And, you know, if people do drop supers constantly, and you have a 5-minute window where you think they're probably going to drop supers, eventually someone will get burned doing that, and they will lose some super carriers or a Titan, and then they'll probably stop.
Plus, you've also got fatigue.
Very true.
So if they drop on one Rorqual, just go 2 systems over, find the next one, and try and kill that.
Yep. I know Goons did it. And the main thing I think that kept their fatigue issue in check was they didn't really jump super far, and there weren't like tons of mining or ratting operations going at any one time, so they would only have to maybe jump once or twice a night. But you know, that can take a toll, and you can catch people out. I think the best part would be if they do jump successfully, and then you somehow turn around and trap said fleet. That's probably your best case scenario. I think most roaming fleets won't be able to do it, but I could easily think of like some wormhole groups that would do that just fine, where they almost intentionally bait out those kinds of fights. So it may be a tactic that people abuse, but you know, I think there's some counterplay there. All right. There's a bunch of shit happening in 0-0. I'd say the biggest news, the stuff that's getting the most flashy posts on Reddit, is that Pandemic Legion, NCDOT, Pandemic Horde, a.k.a. the PanFam, have decided to invade Tribute and attack Circle of Two and Test. Now, this is not a war of animosity. This is basically a war of we need stuff to do, and Horde would like better space, please. Circle of Two, of course, took over most of Tribute after the World War B finale, and Test, sort of their neighbors, and Veil of the Silent, and I think they have a few systems in Tribute as well. I didn't really know what their relationship was, whether they're that close naturally, but I think Tess just sort of wanted in on the fight. And if you told me that Circle of Fucking Two and Tess would be holding the line against Pandemic Legion and NC Dot, I would not believe you. But it's happening. PL and NC Dot had some early successes and then stopped like a rock. It feels like Circle 2 and Test are just sort of on a roll, winning timers, winning fleet fights. It looks like a great, fun war to be a part of. So cheers to all the pilots out there. But in terms of the outcome, very surprising. Jin, what are your thoughts on this one?
I think it's very interesting, just to see, like, how much, kind of drama and otherwise dirt has been thrown up by both sides, just on the whole fighting. It's like, it's been a real propaganda slugfest, you know? There's not been a huge amount of counterpoints from NC and PL, but I know their own morale is holding relatively well. But it definitely seems like the tide of public opinion has, you know, unsurprisingly turned to the underdogs, so... Yeah, like, I think this is just one of the successes of FuzzySolv, though, in the fact that it's not, you know, you can't just ruffle stomp a million and one systems using supercaps. You've got to actually commit to a node and fight over it, and there's a set amount of time you've got to be there. And, you know, whilst I don't like everything about the Solv system, it's certainly, you know, working in the favor of CO2 and Test here.
Indeed. And speaking from experience, having fought against CO2 at the onset of World War B with Mercenary Coalition, I can certainly attest to their vigor and their fighting style. They do not give up. They are hard fighters, they are skilled fighters, and they're very attached to their little pocket of tribute. So best of luck to both sides. I'm drooling over the battle reports that shall surely flood in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about Circle 2 which struck me is that they did have a reputation for being one of the better combat alliances in the Imperium, but they really had a lot of persistence, I guess. I think it really took a big morale blow in terms of losses for them to actually stop pushing in on us. But they were actually going on the attack, just as much as we were attacking them, for a good part of that, and it took a while to like wear down the morale aspect of it. It was not easy by any stretch. So, cheers to them. I hope you guys fight forever. It looks like a lot of fun. I don't know if I'm going to get the opportunity to join in on anything, because I am now down in the south, but so it looks like there's some stuff going on there, too. Jin, Tri has invaded province? What's happening?
Not quite invaded, but they're definitely settling in for a nice little campaign of quote-unquote good fights, and it's been pretty amazing fun. Like, I have to hand it to Tri, they've, you know, settled in and been willing to fight, you know, a relatively numerically superior force in Providence, and they've done it with, you know, some amount of class. They've definitely not, you know, farmness or anything like that. A lot of the fights have been very good, and we've learned a lot. Like, we've been very quickly modernizing. I think that's one of the things Providence doesn't really do on their own. We're not, like, we don't have a huge theory crafting corpse behind us. We just kind of do what works, and it takes a force like Triumvirate or, you know, someone kicking the shit out of us for us to go, maybe we should copy what everyone else is doing. So, yeah, no, I have to hand it to them. They've been really helping us sort out our cap fleets, sort out our battleship fleets, sort out our compositions, you know, get all of our new players in the right ships and to the right places at the right time.
What do you think's been the biggest, in terms of, like, fleet comp stuff, what's been the biggest takeaway for you guys that, you know, stuff that you had been doing that just wasn't working?
Not bringing capitals to fights is bad.
So it's you're now freely dropping caps. I know that Pravi's usually a little tight with them.
Oh, no, for good reason. Tight. It's just, you know, every now and again we're actually willing to drop the hammer, which is fun.
I have to ask, very recently the Volition cult has seemingly dropped from Provi Block. Has that hit you very hard in any particular area? How are you coping with that?
Didn't really hit us at all. They were not joining Coalition. They hadn't been joining Coalition fleets for a fairly long period of time, unless they were being run by Volt FC. I think that was just a final, I don't know how to put it, this is the way it had been for a while. It's just that we're now finally making it official. You know, we've been breaking, our paths have been slowly diverging for a long period of time. So,
hey, honestly, Pravi's just fine without them.
Very true.
I think even at their height, Volt never really added a lot to the Pravi defense fleets.
No, but they did have some very good very competent FCs, and they were contributing to Providence for a while, but they grew to want to do more outside of Providence, and we're perfectly okay with that. They just can't do that and expect to rely on us to have their backs 100% of the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's totally reasonable.
Yep.
Where is the fighting centering? Where is Tri attacking for the most part?
In the stuff near, I think it's Derelict.
So Asar area?
Yeah, kind of down the Asar area. And they're kind of coming at us through there. So they're hitting, major logistical points, places like 9UY, XHQ, hitting jump bridges and stuff like that. They haven't really started on Sov. I think they're just seeing what they can get away with. And, for our own part, we're constantly reinforcing their staging towers. Just to see if we can finally get a good EE time zone timer for that, which is the holy grail of fights for them, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome, guys. It's good to see, not at Pandemic Legion level, Goonswarm level, Gotaway Vic Providence conflict, but just a fun little reasonable sized invasion to give everybody content. I think it's probably one of the best things for Pravi.
Mm-hmm. Definitely great.
Personally, and this is one reason why my new corp is based in Providence. Don't think we'll be getting into much of this fighting because we're just not ready yet. But maybe if it keeps going for a while, we'll get involved. But Providence is the best place for content, generally speaking. As a roamer, the best regions that I've ever been in for fights, Syndicate and Providence. And Providence is just, geographically speaking, so much better. It's the best place to roam in EVE, by far. That's my opinion. Formed over several years of doing it, and I stick with that. That's, sort of why my corp's just doing that. I realized that, hey, for the past couple months, the best times that I've logged in EVE has been, hey, let's go roam Provi. It's always a good time. Whether you die or kill, it's always fun, and it's just a great, great place to be around with great people in it to fight. You sometimes run into other roamers, which provides a little variety in terms of the type of fights that you get. It's the best, and I don't really want to see any major changes to Provi in terms of the balance of power. But it is always cool to see you guys, like you said, evolving, being forced to evolve and improve and stay sharp. Never a bad thing. So,
yeah, think that we're just going to be dropping capitals willy nilly, though. We still keep a tight fist on it. We're just less afraid when it comes to it.
Cool. Well, I wish Privy Black good luck, and good luck to Try as well. And, I don't know, we'll see how recruitment goes, and we'll see what Nor Academy is up to and their timeline, and if you guys are still fighting in a week or two, maybe we'll get in on some of that. We've also got some stuff going on down south with the Imperium. For those of you that haven't been keeping an eye on it, Goonswarm has relocated to the other side of the map and reestablished the Imperium down in the Delve Quirius area. It's been, I don't know, I would characterize it as relatively smooth, considering the scope of the move and the difficulties that they've gone through beforehand. I think they've been able to get into the new region relatively well. But Artemis, you've got some information about that. How are things going, Quirius?
So, for those of you who missed it, there have been battle reports floating around on Reddit, and Mercenary Coalition is currently deployed down in Quirius. We're basically down there having a bunch of fun, getting a lot of good fights with goons as well as the local residents. And in particular, goons are down there. If you listen to the podcast by Asher Elias, he's a main FC for the goons, and he has got his heart set on reestablishing the Quirius Fight Club, the QFC. And the result of this is that some people in Quirius are for the change, some people in Quirius are certainly against the change, and as a result, goons are fighting with everybody who's involved, and it's just a massive blast, tons of fights going on down there all the time. Certainly more will be happening in the future, and really, really enjoying ourselves down there. Goons have certainly established themselves. They were knocked down by World War B, but certainly not knocked out.
I mean, this was a key point that we made several times on this broadcast, that their super capital fleet was never really touched. They were very careful with it. It got trapped for a time, or was allegedly trapped for a time, but they never tried to do a reckless breakout. Effectively, their capital and super capital forces were perfectly pristine. So we knew that wherever they went, and they didn't really slope off either. They had a little bit of members leaving, but nothing huge. Still a massive alliance. So, you know, wherever they went, you know, they were going to be a force, definitely a regional power, not a multi-regional power. And they are asserting themselves in here. I think establishing Quirius Fight Club from a strategic perspective for them is probably a great idea, because it gives their members content close by while preventing any superpower from sort of establishing themselves in Quirius that could potentially threaten them. So I think it's a good move for them. We'll see. I mean, I imagine they will get it done. It's just a matter of how long it will take them. I don't see any of the alliances currently in Quirius standing up to them for very long.
Certainly something to watch out for in the future.
Mm-hmm. Good luck to Mercenary Coalition on that contract.
Yeah, very good luck. The world needs more catalysts.
Yeah. And Quirius Fight Club was a great idea. I supported it back then, support it now. There's just certain regions which sort of lend themselves to it. Quirius, Pravi, Syndicate all come to mind. I think Impasse would also make a decent Fight Club area if someone ever decided to do that.
Spoilers to Alexio Card's new plans with his corporation.
Yeah, I heard Providence made a great Fight Club, you know.
Hey man, for the limited time it was there, it was good. It was working as intended. Till PL kicked over the sandcastle. But everything prior was great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, well, first Pravi, then Impasse, then the world. That's the conquest plans for the Capitalist Army. And speaking of Pravi, Jin, mm-hmm. You had CSME points to make about the new Alpha Clones. I think the biggest highlight for me was that the Alpha Clones are now definitely not going to allow simultaneous login, which I think is just the sanity change that needed to be made. Why don't you elaborate on the latest with Eve going free to play and the Alpha Clone?
Yeah, Eve is going, well, obviously Eve is going free to experience, is the way I like to put it, this November. But we've been working hard with CCP to kind of try and, you know, get some good rules put in place that they can use when it comes to managing the influx of people that might do, and, you know, kind of ruling out any potential abuse cases. Because at the end of the day, the priority is to make sure that people who currently are sub to the game are not negatively impacted by it. So the big thing that we did was we talked to CCP, and we were like, just like, there is no point at which having an alpha clone alongside an omega clone is good gameplay, and we don't want people to feel like they're forced to do that. And as such, you know, CCP were very, very receptive. They, you know, challenged us to present arguments, and we had a lot of back and forth, but they did. They, at the end of the day, they seemed like they agreed with us, and that change was made. So I'm really happy about that.
I'm pleased as well. I think it's, like I said, it's super reasonable. I 100% agree that there's no good reason to have that, and you don't want to have, like, a... There's already enough pressure to maintain multiple accounts in EVE. I don't think you really want to fuel the alt arms race fire, because it's just not... I mean, it's helpful gameplay in that you can do stuff with alts in EVE that you can't otherwise do, or you could do with people, but it's more difficult. But it's not super fun for most people to maintain large numbers of accounts at the same time. And gameplay-wise, I don't think it's as good as just having another person. And I'm sure CCP would rather have another actual person as well. So, I think it's a totally reasonable change, and I'm very pleased.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Certainly Mercenary Coalition is looking very much forward to the changes with Alpha State Clones. You mentioned earlier Noir Academy, Alec, and changes are coming to be announced soon. TM, Mercenary Coalition, and Noir in particular are making sweeping changes. Looking forward to embracing the new Alpha State Clones and bringing them into the mercenary profession.
Yep, and I'm designing Capitalist Army to be Alpha Clone friendly, or at least parts of it. Gonna make sure that we have fits and such that are Alpha Clone compatible, and we have doctrines that those guys can fly in, and, you know, make sure recruitment processes are welcoming to those guys. For those of you that haven't heard about it, I am going to resume teaching at NAR Academy. As soon as said changes get announced and are finalized, I'll be much more active in, you know, teaching people PvP, FCing, that kind of stuff, as well as maintaining the Capitalist Army itself, which will, you know, probably also participate in said classes, but we'll have our own objectives. Not necessarily always tied to what NAR Academy is doing. Feels like that was the best way to get the flexibility to do the stuff that I wanted to do, while also giving back to the community and continuing to contribute to NAR, which, as I'm sure you guys listening can understand, I still feel you know, a bit of an attachment to after all the years of work that I put into it. So I just want to get more involved, and I thought about it a lot, and there were two things that I really wanted to do: teach new players and go piss the crap out of Providence. Not really. I don't really want to piss them
off.
I want to put a trade hub in Providence, but that will piss Providence off, so the two kind of go hand in hand. We'll see how it goes. Capitalist Army, baby!
Speaking of the Alpha Clone friendly Capitalist Army, in the recent update at post CSM summit that CCP released, they mentioned that, if I recall correctly, you will be able to discern if a pilot is in the Alpha or Omega Clone state via the API. Certainly there was a raging discussion on private forums as well as on the Reddit about whether or not this would sort of encourage discrimination against the Alpha Clone pilots, as they may, they certainly are limited in their combat effectiveness, albeit not worth counting out. Jintan, can you tell me a bit about how the CSM went about that point, talking over it with CCP? What are your visions for it?
Well, the talk we had with CCP on that basically followed the same lines as the conversation that was had by the public on it. It was basically just them going, hey, we'd rather there wasn't any alpha racism, and us agreeing with that sentiment. But at the end of the day, practicality was the argument that a couple of people in the CSM went for. They were pointing out that, you know, you need to be able to know if your people are willing to log on to, say, Capital Alts and things like that. Or, you know, if people are just simply able to fly the things that you want them to fly. It's no good just knowing, hey, these guys can use these skills, if you have 100 dudes online. If you have 100 dudes online and all of them are Alpha Clones, you want to be able to say, okay, let's get an Alpha Clone Doctrines, so that you can go and do the most effective possible thing.
Yeah, it's not like they could fake it. I mean, if you recruit somebody who's an alpha, it's going to be super apparent the first time you ask them to get in anything that has a Tech 2 module. And you're like, oh, well, I kind of can't, because... So I think it's just better, like Jin said, in terms of practicality, just get it out of the way, make it easy to tell. That way, corporation owners and directors can plan things. That said, I think there could be some discrimination, but I don't think it'll be on combat effectiveness. I think it'll be on trustworthiness, because it's going to be that much harder to tell if alphas are, you know, spy alts or potential saboteurs, potential thieves, etc. In terms of combat, I really think very strongly that they can contribute meaningfully. You know, they can use tackle modules, they can use EWAR modules, the disruption frigates and logistic frigates were awesome changes and give pretty much every race some extremely viable Tech 1 frigate. And that's not including stuff like the Thrasher, not including stuff like the Algos, in terms of the destroyers, not including like the Celestis, the Vexer, all these great cruisers out there. Even just the most basic thing, I think there's a viable, meaningful role for every alpha pilot, every race. It's just a matter of the Omegas out there, the EVETs, you know, identifying those ships clearly for the new players and steering them into them, guiding them on the fits, if not just providing them the fits, so that they can contribute in a strong way. Because every race has a Tech 1 frigate, destroyer, or cruiser that's really fucking great, thanks to all of CCP's balancing. So it's just a matter of getting them in there. I'm talking like Rupture, Thrasher, Vigil, Rifter, great for the Mimitar. You want to go Kaldari. Oh shit, Jin.
Yeah.
That's breaking news. Let's talk about it.
I may have to like leave this pretty soon. Don't leak that quite yet. But yeah, I think try disrupt supers.
Oh shit, son. It's on.
Oh god. That's hella baller. Like, we got fucking 300 dudes in local and they're dropping supers. Okay, okay.
Alright, fam.
Wow.
I might have to get in on that too. Let's see. But yeah, like every race has something. Celestis, Arbitrator. Blackbird, not so much, but you got the Caracal. There's a lot to like there. So. I'm very high on the combat ability of the Alpha Clones. I think they're going to do just fine, especially in the hands of capable FCs and capable directors that can guide them to the correct fits.
Very true. As a Logi Bro at heart, I am looking forward to bolstered numbers in fleets with our Augurer and Exeggear Bros for armor fleets and Osprey and Scythe Bros for shield fleets. However, I am certainly very wary of the onslaught that will ensue as a result of all of those Alpha Clones in their incredibly useful, powerful, and certainly not to be underestimated EWAR ships.
Yeah, it's going to be the age of ECCM.
I am glad that...
A lot of noobs and blackbirds, man.
I am glad that CCP changed the maximum electronic warfare skill cap to be level 3 instead of level 4, such that Tech 2 jams are not possible in the Alpha Clone state.
You can thank our good friend Gorski Carr for that suggestion.
God bless Gorski. You, Gorski.
You're a hero.
All right. Let's try to move on a little bit so we can get on and try super action. My host highlights, I've been really busy at work 2 weeks ago, and this past week I've actually been extremely sick. So I haven't been as active as I'd like to be. And there's still like a long to-do list for me on the Capitalist Army stuff. Like, I gotta get our voice comms and Slack sorted. I gotta get our court bulletins and welcome mails figured out. I wanna set up some roles for alphas so they can get shit from the hangars. Yeah, I gotta get my alt in a freighter and move said shit to said hangars. I gotta put a few more things into fleet up for our, like, initial doctrines. I gotta make alpha fits for all said doctrines. So, yeah, there's a whole bunch of shit that I gotta get done. That I will do, just taking me longer than I thought because of work and being super sick. I'm actually kind of still sick right now, as a matter of fact. So apologies to the audience for the quality of my voice right now. The only other thing I want to throw out there is I've tried a new streaming site called Beam.pro, and I really liked it. So if you're following me on Twitch, please follow me there. It's beam.pro/Alexeyev. Beam.pro/Alexeyev. I really like this site. I think you guys will like it too. The interface is really fun, and there's like some gamification elements for watching streams. It's similar in functionality to Twitch, but like feels way better. And the chat is very, very low delay. If you stream to both Twitch and Beam, you get like 2 to 5 second delay. If you stream to Beam only, it is a less than 1 second delay on the chat.
Whoa.
Yes, it's really, really incredible. So if I can get large numbers on my Beam, basically like the same numbers I would get on Twitch, which is like, you know, 10 to 12 people on a good day, then I will just like switch over to Beam completely and use that like 0 second chat, and we'll have like the most interactive Eve stream chat ever. So if you guys want to come follow me on Beam, really appreciate it. Beam.pro/Alexeyev. That's BEAM.PRO/ALEKSEYEV. Jin?
Yeah, my host highlight was the... I'm sorry, I wasn't sure if you were done or not. You're going on there for a while, my friend. I love
apologies,
that.
Apologies.
No, nothing at all. Nothing at all. I do love streaming, actually. I need to do it some more myself. But my big thing is my big host highlight was something I discussed earlier. I was a member of the AT analysis panel for first weekend. Absolutely great fun. Shout out to everyone involved. Like, I hope they can have me back next year.
For my highlight, it's certainly going to be the flying in the Alliance Tournament 14. Incredible experience flying with and against some of the best pilots in New Eden. Very much looking forward to next year. MC will certainly be fielding a team as we made it to the final 16. We have auto bid into the tournament. And those skins, they're super dope, man. Really looking forward to flying those around on DQ.
Mm-hmm.
Those awesome dope skins, as always.
I love skins in Eve. I can't say it enough. It's been fantastic.
The purity zealot. Oh.
The largest point of contention within the MCAT team was whether or not skins were going to be required for flying. It was... The
yes,
red skin,
yes, of course.
Because of course red spaceships fly faster, or blue skins because blue is so cool, or, you know, we were very disappointed. Delator, all throughout flying practice on Thunderdome server, fantastic job on that, CCP, by the way. All throughout flying, he loved the Serpentis Oniro skin, but unfortunately it's not available on TQ, and his spirit was completely blasted with that revelation, nonetheless.
Not available at all?
Not available at all. Huh. There was a single buy order in Jita for 175 million ISK. No sell orders, none to be found anywhere. If I understand correctly, they haven't been added to the loot table anywhere.
Oh.
Interesting.
Jin? Sounds like a job for the CSM.
Hi.
Get Serpentis and Eris skins sorted and seated on the server somehow.
Okay.
Gotta get that shit. The Serpentis skins
gotta
do look fantastic.
Them monies.
Say again.
Oh.
Do it.
I can't just force CCP to do stuff. That's not what the CSM's for. Help.
Alright, let's talk region descriptions. We'll close out the show with these. I am doing Derelik.
And I believe our Artemis is doing Delve? Yeah, there we
Delve.
Go. It was a D word.
And you are doing Jin. See if you can pronounce it correctly.
Detroit.
Ah, fail.
Don't care.
The Derelict region, sovereign seat of the Ammitar Mandate, became the shield to the Amarian flank in the wake of the Mimitar Rebellion. Derelict witnessed many hostile exchanges between the Amaran rebel forces as the latter tried to push deeper into the territory of their former masters. Having held their ground, thanks in no small part to the Ammitar's military efforts, the Amar awarded the Ammitar with their own province. However, this portion of space shared borders with the newly forming Mimitar Republic, as well as the Empire, and thus came to be situated in a dark recess surrounded by hostiles. Given the lack of safe routes elsewhere, the local economies of this region were dependent on trade with the Amar as their primary means of survival. The Ammitar persevered over many decades of economic stagnation and limited trade partners, and their determination has in recent decades been rewarded with an increase in economic prosperity. This harsh trail is a point of pride to all who call themselves Ammitar, and it has bolstered their faith in the Amarian way to no end. Thank you.
That was incredibly well done. Jintan, can you follow that up?
Yeah, no worries. Thank you. In the outer reaches of the south, nestled behind its former neighbors, lies Detroit. This unassuming region is home to what many have termed dead storms, a phenomenon not found anywhere else. They appear randomly, centered around certain planets, ravage the area for days, and then abruptly vanish. Scientists have had relatively few chances to travel to the region to study the dead storms, as Detroit once marked the edge of the Jove Empire and now lies within the deadly Angel Cartel's territory. Current theory points to the storms being tears in the fabric of space. Why they exist in the first place, or the reason for them there being focused around certain planets, remain mysteries, and no doubt do so for some time yet.
The bar has been raised.
Not bad.
On to Delve. A nursery rhyme. Bloody Omir ran away, hiding from the light of day. Made a base out in the night, far, far away from the Emperor's might. Holders think that they are safe, protected by the Emperor's grace. Silly, silly people, they should know. You shall reap what you sow. Bloody Omir is coming back, wading through a crimson flood. Omir's come to drink your blood.
Ah!
Spooky.
Spooky, really scary skeleton.
Oh, dear.
Awesome, guys. All right, well, that's it. Go to declarationsofwar.com to participate in the show poll and leave a comment on the episode. Join the capitalist army, everybody. Spread it around like wildfire. And good hunting, listeners.
The sun is warm. The grass is freaking green.
Ghost, ghost,
I
want
to kick that panda bear's ass.
Ghost.
Panda. I'm a killer. Racist. Panda. I'm a nightmare.
Playing with Peter Copper.
Quick, girl!